The following program contains the opinions of the host, guests, and call-in participants. These do not necessarily represent the views of this show's distributors or sponsors. This program may contain obscene, profane, or otherwise objectionable language. Viewer discretion is advised. Yes, we're back. Hello, it's the Giant Head from Minnesota. How are you doing? It's 11:01 p.m. Eastern Time, 8:01 p.m. Western Time. No, that's Pacific Time. One minute after 2 p.m. in the afternoon in Sydney, Australia, and a minute after 10 p.m. Central Time, where I'm sitting in Northeast Minneapolis. I am Jim Peters, and you are watching Jim Peters Tonight. Maybe live, maybe not. Who knows? Episode number 91. It's Monday, March 4th, 2024. Now, usually we're live video on 7 platforms and audio on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, and this is the reason we're a minute late, we're live on 6 video platforms because we could not connect to Twitch. And we didn't find that. Look, putting this show on so we launch in a fucking rocket, okay? So, yeah, we have a 15-minute mark we have to set beforehand and a 5-minute mark. And because we could not connect to Twitch, we missed the 5-minute mark, which is the reason we're running a minute late tonight. Like you care or want to know. I don't know. We took a week off, or 3 days anyway. It was good. Got a lot done. That's the thing. We're getting it done here. We got a lot going on. No, I'm serious, and I'm going to tell you about it right now. So tonight is Monologue Monday. So what that means is I talk for an hour. And the reason I do this on Mondays is because even if we don't take 3 days off, even on a normal week, we have a 3-day weekend here, and we got a lot to talk about. You know, and when I say they, I mean politicians, they try to bury news on Friday afternoon, but it's always the juiciest stuff. So we got a whole weekend of news to plow through. And so that's the reason we do Monologue Monday. I started this about a month ago. I'm really not booking guests on Monday anymore. I will if that's the only time they can do it. But as a general rule, we're not. So, yeah. So now here's the deal. You want to call up, okay, because you can be part of the conversation here. We have a whole hour and a half, whatever the fuck it's going to end up being, without any guests. So you call. There's 3 ways you can get a hold of the show, okay? First is video calling. You go to jimatnight.com/call right here. Go to that URL in your web browser, on your phone, doesn't matter. I swear to God, it's easier than making a FaceTime call. It really is. You go to that address. There's a giant big blue button at the top of the screen. You click it, preview page, you check your camera and mic, and then you push join at the bottom, and you're in the queue. And then I put you on the screen. Really, seriously, I've asked every single person who's called. Everybody says, it's easy as pie. It truly is easier than making a FaceTime call. I'm not kidding. It's way easier than Zoom. Not even close. So, yeah. So you want to call up that way. Second way you can call in, this is new as of this month. That number right there, 563-999-4345, that's cell phone, you know, calling only. Oh, and by the way, I think it was an AT&T that announced last week that they're going to stop supporting landlines altogether. It's the end of an era, folks. Yeah, you won't be able to get one anymore. And your house is wired for it because almost all houses in America are. I know not, the wires are just going to stay there and rot. I don't know. Do people still use DSL? I don't even really know. You can sell them DSL through the phone lines. But yeah, that's the end of an era. So anyway, you can call with that number. And I know you millennials and especially the Gen Zers, they don't like to talk on the phone because they don't know how to talk to people. But I really, seriously, I'm 68 years old. I'm harmless. You can call up here. It's going to be fine. It's going to be totally okay. I have a screen off to the side here. I see your calls. I got a screen in front of me. I can see your video calls. And finally, you see this number right here? You can text real time into the show, 408-458-5088. I get your texts while we're on the air. Now, if you're on, like, you know, Rumble or YouTube and you're running the chat, I don't see those. We got too many platforms going on here. And not only that, you can't see each other. But if you text in, I see all that. So that's how you contact the show. And tonight's a good night to do it. Mondays is a good night to do it because we don't have any freaking guests on purpose. Okay, but tomorrow we do. So what do you got going on the next week? All right. Now, I have to really preface this. Talking about calling in. Tomorrow night, we have on metaphysical clinician and psychic, and also she's a medical doctor. Dr. Linda Salvin is going to be joining us. And she's going to be giving me a reading, a psychic reading, and she will do that for you bonkers for free if you call in. So now I'm going to be posting on all our platforms. Tonight, we're putting up a separate little promo video to make certain people aware of this. You can call in tomorrow night, and she will give you a psychic reading. And it doesn't matter whether you're on video or audio. It does not matter. She said she could do it either way. So you don't have to put your face on the screen. You can call up some stupid pseudonym. I'm starting to conclude, you know, we're supposedly the first talk show in America to take video phone calls. That's no exaggeration. And folks, I got to tell you, we're batting way, way above our weight. We've been doing this for 6 months. I want to thank you folks. We have over 2,000 followers on Rumble. That's very cool. Thank you very much for that. We've only been doing 6 months. We haven't even done 100 shows. The guests that come on the show are already way, way more to be here. And I'm going to tell you about a couple in just a minute, too. But at any rate, my point is, I think I figured out that people don't like the video calling because they don't want their face on the screen because you're all trolling assholes. That's the reason. Okay, let's just admit it. So you can call in, like I said, you can call in with your phone, you know, just dial in, and you don't have to use your real name. No one's going to see you. And you can do that with Dr. Salvin tomorrow, too. She says she does not care whether you're on video or audio. She will give you a reading either way. Okay, you got that? That's tomorrow night. This is actually going to be super cool. So we're promoting this all over the place, starting tonight and tomorrow morning. So, yeah, so you call up and do that, do it live. Obviously, okay? So she's our guest tomorrow night. Wednesday, Jeff Meyer, the CEO of Conk News, it's his monthly sojourn here, and we're going to talk about it, and he's very depressing. His reputation has caught up to him. No, he's a really, really interesting guy. You may not agree with his opinions, but he always has something, an interesting take on everything. And by the way, Conk News is our sponsor, which is the reason he's here. But I don't, you know, that's beside the point because he's a really interesting guy. And Conk News, we're going to show you the front page here in just a second. We're proud to be, to have them sponsor us. So it's a fantastic product. It really is. If you're in News Kentucky, hell, let's do it right now. We're going to do it right now. I'm going to interrupt this. So hold on. My God almighty, we got a little bug here. Okay, there we go. All right, this is the front page of Conk News that I loaded up about a half an hour ago. Now, the reason that's important is because it changes about every 3 hours, or it does change every 3 hours. Conk News is a news aggregator. They take news from 75 different sources every 3 hours and lay it out on the front page of their website. And you'll see up here, and I'm using my cursor, and you can't see it. And Jesus. I'm just full of crap. Why are you watching? So you see the menu at the top of the page there. They have some other pages, but this is essentially a one-page website. And there's 75 different news sources that feed news in this every 3 hours. The photos are from the articles. The headlines are not rewritten. There's no interstitial pages. You click on a headline or a photo, you end up right at that article. It's a news junkie's dream come true. I'm kidding. And it has it's just also news aggregated from a conservative perspective too. So, I mean, if you're like watching the show and you're an old fart like me, I worked for these people for 3 years. It was a fantastic experience. I'm very happy to have them on as a sponsor. Very happy. At any rate, so yeah, that's at conk.com, conk.com. Okay, check it out, and it's free. I should bring that out to you. There's no, they don't even have a paid tier right now yet. I think they're working on that. But Jeff Meyer is our spot. You know, he runs Kong News. He's the president, CEO, and the publisher. Yes, and he runs it, and he's our sponsor, so he comes on once a month, and we shoot the shit, and he's really good at it. So we got that. He's coming on a Wednesday. On Thursday, it's the State of the Union, and we are going to have – it's our month in review panel, which is Tim Conaway, Don Zorro, and Larry Newman. They are coming on for the State of the Union. We're going to start that show immediately upon the State of the Union finishing, which should be around 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, about an hour earlier than we usually go on. And we will, you know, we'll see if Joel has a heart attack before the end of it. I don't know. You know, seriously, I'm not the only one who noticed this. They apparently fill his butt full of drugs because he can go about 40, 45 minutes and be pretty cogent when they decide to do that. It's obvious they're juicing him with something. And you will notice, I'm predicting this again, it's an easy prediction to make, that around 45 minutes into that speech, he will start to fade. He'll start to trip up, slur his words, because he's 81 years old and he's an old, elderly, old frickin' man. Now, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, too. A lot of stuff to talk about. So that's Thursday. Coming up next week, David Strom from HotAir.com will be joining us on Wednesday. Coming up the week after that, now this is the part where this is really interesting. We have a couple of new guests coming on. Les Velez, who runs the Organization for Paranormal Understanding and Support. That's OPUS for short. He's going to be our guest. He's written a book called The Unknown Other, and that book is mostly stories but from members. What the Organization of Paranormal Understanding and Support is, what OPUS is, it's basically a place where people can go. There's forums there where people can go who have had alien abductions and can discuss them. Now, and so he wrote a book based on some of for lack of a better term, better stories of some of his clients. And I've read most of it. I plowed through most of it now. I tell you, man, holy shit. You want to hear some really weird shit? You know, and I don't know how to put this. I don't think most of these people are making this up. I don't. I think these things are really happening. John Mack, the famed late psychiatrist who ran the psychiatry department at Harvard University, he looked into this for 2 years, and he started his study trying to figure out what was wrong with these people. He did not believe the stories. He said there's something psychologically wrong with them. And after 2-3 years of studying it, he came to the conclusion, no, there's nothing psychologically wrong with them. Either this is actually happening to these people or somehow they believe it's happening, one or the other. And what do you say about the belief? I mean, where's the difference between belief and reality? I don't know. But some of these stories are very, very weird. I read one in particular. I'm going to see if I can actually get this guy on because his story is very bizarre, but in some strange way, it made sense to me. Because I read this and I thought, well, if you're 10,000 years ahead of us in technology, this is what you'd be doing. Even though, and the Les quotes Arthur C. Clarke in his book, the famous science fiction writer, who very famously said, all misunderstood technology comes across as magic. And you can't argue with that. Anyway, Les Velez is coming on a week from tomorrow. Am I right about that? No, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Excuse me. 2 weeks from tomorrow. He's going on the 19th. And also coming on April. And this is one of those things, once again, you know, I'm batting way above my station here, folks. Kathleen Marden is coming on. Now, you may not know her name, but you probably have heard of Betty and Barney Hill, which was in 1961, the first, for all practical purposes, documented case of alien abduction. Excuse me. That happened in New Hampshire, on a road in New Hampshire in 1961. What do I mean by documented? Well, first of all, there was physical evidence, several different types. But secondly, they were so freaked out by this incident that they sought psychiatric help, a guy named Benjamin Simon in Boston, who decided to hypnotically regress them. And he didn't believe any of this, none of it. And he regressed them. And here's the most important thing. He did it separately. They were not together in the room, and they both recounted virtually the exact same story. And then on top of that, and this is the part I got to talk to Kathleen about, because this is the part where the famed late researcher Stan Friedman said, this might be the smoking gun in all of ufology. That is, well, before they left the spacecraft, they showed Betty Hill a map of where they were at and what they were doing, a map of the cosmos. And she drew it from memory. She's under hypnosis. And what was it, 20 years later, 40 years later, I can't remember, in the late 1980s or the early 1990s, some astronomy teacher found where that is. It's Zeta Reticuli. It's the solar system of Zeta Reticuli, which we didn't know existed then. As a matter of fact, we didn't even know where Zeta Reticuli was when she drew the map. So here's the deal. This is what Stan Friedman was talking about. Either this suburban housewife knew something about astronomy that no one else on the planet knew in 1965, or else they told her this. Her story is true. There's no other way to get around it. I mean, she knew what was in the cosmos 37 light years away before anybody ever saw it. And so anyway, so Kathleen Martin is Betty Hill's niece, and she went on. She was a teenager when this happened in 1961. She went on. She devoted the rest of her life to UFO research and alien abduction research. And so she knows a lot of stuff. She's going to talk about her aunt and her uncle. I mean, it's a fascinating, fascinating story. And so, and the other thing I do want to bring up about this too, that Betty and Barney never wanted their story publicized. That was not, they were just looking for psychiatric help. Somebody in Benjamin Simon's office leaked it to the press, and that's how it got publicized. And the whole thing completely blew up. There was a movie made out of this. You know, it's like, it went for the 1960s, you would say it went viral. So yeah, so we're going to talk to her. She's coming on sometime in April. Remember, I think we actually did pin the date down today, but I can't remember off the top of my head. She's coming on in April. So yeah, we had Stan Gordon on here, Albert Rosales, Patrick Moore. The show with Patrick Moore is still the most watched show in this series so far. He's a climatologist. He's a guy. Him and Michael Schellenberger are probably the primary climatologists who have spoken out against climate change. Now, I'm going to go through this again. Global warming is real. So, you know, you got to get your terms right here. So if you're, global warming is real. The Earth is warming up. The Earth has been warming up for the last 300 years. No good scientist disputes that. Yes, the glaciers are melting. All that shit is true. The question really is, are humans affecting it? And there's an increasing number of scientists who are coming out and saying, no, they aren't. And Moore is leading the way on that. Moore and Michael Schellenberger. I'm trying to get Michael Schellenberger on the show too. So, I got to thank these people. I want to thank you for watching. It's like, Jesus Christ, you know, this is so far so good. You know, on the 21st of March, I think we're doing our 100th show. I'm trying to put together a big blowout for that. So, that's what we got going on here. So, I told you how to connect here. I told you Klon News is our sponsor. We got a webcam, audio, and text. You can text me now. And we got a call. Hold on. Let's look. I'm talking and I'm talking. Hi, who's this?
Hello? Hi. You can call me Think. Hi. My name is Think. You can call me Think. How's it going?
Saint?
I want to jump in here. Think, like think for yourself. That's my name,
yeah.
Think.
Oh, Think. Okay. Okay. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to jump on here. I wanted to talk to you about the UFO thing because I have some issues. But then you brought up global warming and how a lot of scientists now are not believing that it's real. And I want to kind of, because I disagree with that. And I don't want to be a jerk to you, but I would like for you to help me think otherwise, if possible.
Sure.
Because I currently live in upstate. If you can just let me real quick, okay?
I currently live
in upstate. So I'm currently in upstate New York. And for the past 10 years, I've seen weather really dramatically change. For instance, right now we are in March, and March is still in my childhood, March was still a snowy weather condition outside. There should be at least 5 feet or 3 feet of snow outside. Right now it's almost 60 some degrees up here in New York. There's temperatures that are, to me, it looks like there's change. And the reason why I say this is because I believe in one thing that would make what my belief factual, and that's pollution. A lot of people don't believe in pollution anymore, and they can't see the connection between pollution and climate change. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to begin with that.
Okay. All right. First of all, I need to point out what I just said while I was talking about this just now. No one is doubting the fact that the world is warming up. That's a scientific fact. So that's where we have to get our terms right here. It's the difference between global warming and climate change. Global warming is very real. No one doubts. I don't know a single scientist. I talked to a lot of scientists about this. Nobody doubts that. So that first. Then the question is, so the climate change issue is, are humans affecting this? Do humans have an effect on this? Now, the people I talk to, and I've seen enough science now so that I'm convinced that the answer to that is no. The world is warming up just because of the net. Well, if you got a second here, I'll tell you why. It has to do with the way the world, the Earth revolves around the sun. There's a wobble to that orbit that's affected by the other planets in the solar system. There's a name for this. It's named after a Russian scientist, but I can never remember it. So especially the three large planets in the solar system, Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus, tug on the orbit of the Earth the same way kind of that the moon causes tides on the Earth. It's kind of the same kind of a principle. So the Earth is moving closer and farther away from the sun on a regular basis. Now, this is in terms of our orbit, this is minuscule, but it's enough to affect the weather and affect climate. It is. So that's the primary cause of global warming. And I also want to address what you're talking about pollution. So one thing that the climate change people have done a really good job talking, I got to tell you this. If the whole thing's a grift to get money off of you, I mean, I'm not kidding about this. You can look this up. When I talked to Patrick Moore, I think in October, about 2 weeks after we had that conversation, the UN put up a page on their website saying we can solve global warming if we have $75 trillion. That's the most absurd. That's like the thing out of Austin Powers, you know, Dr. Evil. You know, we need $1 million. So, you know, it's just a ridiculous amount of money. But they've confused CO2 and pollution. And see, you are right. There's a kernel of truth to this. And that is, pollution is bad. Nobody wants a dirty planet. Nobody does. You're absolutely correct. But CO2 is not pollution. It isn't. And if you listen to the people, scientists on like fucking cable news, they will try to tell you, or there's a strong implication that it is. They have nothing to do with each other. Pollution is just fucking dirt in the air. And yeah, pollution is not good. So anyway, that's in a nutshell what's going on here. Did I make myself clear? Do you understand? Or
yeah, I agree with you that I don't know who you. We're gonna call this, instead of calling them Illuminati elites, let's just call them NGOs, non-government organizations. Okay, NGOs,
elite people.
Secretly getting together, organizing, and I don't believe their solution is correct. I don't believe that them getting together and just taxing us and doing weird things to our children right now to keep them in check. Because the bottom line comes, this is how I feel. I don't think that they're saying that pollution is even the big problem. I think that these NGO people are saying the big problem here is there's too many of us. And because there's too many of us, that's why there's a huge a pollution problem, because, you know, we're creating the pollution. The more there is of us, the more pollution will come. I'm sorry, did I cut you off? Were you going to say something?
No, I was going to say bingo. You got it. That's right.
Yeah. And I don't believe that their solution of trying to teach our kids to be, I'm going to go into like some conspiracy stuff, borderline conspiracy, but trying to get more and more of us to become homosexuals, to keep our population in check. I mean, we can see it right in the programming that's going out right now. But on a side note, I don't believe that what they're saying is correct and what they're trying to do is correct. And you're right, by having them tax us. That's the main thing that they're trying to do, is tax us so that we don't spend more fuel traveling. You know, the higher the price of gas, that we would travel less, kind of that theory. I don't believe in that, but I do believe that there is pollution, and global warming actually causes climate change. From the research I've done, I'm not a scientist, but from the research that I've done so far, they kind of coincide with one another. For example, the global warming will heat up the polar ice caps. Now, once the polar ice caps melt, that it brings cold water down throughout the oceans. There's this thing within the water, within the oceans, this I forgot what it's called, but it's this belt that basically spins the water and travels the water around to keep everything in circulation. Once the temperature heats up or cools up, that belt that circulates the water does not move in proper circulation. It's also diluting the salt in the water. So that will cause weird events. For example, the flooding in New York. I've lived in New York, I'm telling you, since the 80s, and I've never heard of a flood. But we are getting them almost every year now. Not just that, we're getting earthquakes here in New York. That is the most ridiculous thing. We're starting to experience earthquakes here in New York. The flood, earthquakes, and wind storms that blow over semi-trucks. I see them every year now. A truck on the side of the road flipped over. Did you know wind was that strong? I didn't. I know that in Florida and in Louisiana, those places, the winds can blow over like trees and stuff. But I never saw it here in New York until recently, the past 10 years. So there is some correlation, I think, between this global warming or climate change that's causing these weird events here in New York.
I'm not entirely disagreeing with you here. How old are you, may I ask?
I'm in my 50s.
Okay. All right. So you have a 50-year window, basically, or 40 or whatever. You know, I don't know about you. I was not conscious until I was probably 15 years old. But you have a 40-year window roughly of samples that you can and you're right. See, I I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you on all this stuff. But the thing is, you have to understand that a weather cycle, from a technical standpoint, from a meteorological standpoint, can last up to 30,000 years. And what Patrick Moore and the other climatologists are telling me is, in reality, our Earth is actually on the cold side right now. So for it to warm up would be actually normal. And because we've only been around, you know, our country's only 200 years old, you know, that's all we have to draw from. So we don't really know about the fact that it used to be warmer. And so, you know, the weird thing is, you're right. And yet what I'm talking about is still true. In other words, we're basically both correct here.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I think we're agreeing on this, but I think where we disagree is the fact that I think that you don't think that our pollution that we're causing is what's causing the global warming. I think you're trying to say that it's a natural event that's going on right now, and I kind of disagree with that. I think that we're causing this. what's happening to the environment right now. And
well, all right, we have to get our terms straight here. So, okay. Like, pollution is bad and pollution causes bad shit, but the actual warming of the planet is not caused by pollution. It isn't. That's what I've understood and what people have been telling me. Yeah. So.
And this is where I disagree, because I do think that pollution is causing our global warming. I agree that the CO2 emissions is heating up at least the area that it's heating up the area. I don't know if you've ever been to a third world country. I went to Vietnam. I often travel to Vietnam. And I'll tell you, here in America, we're not overcrowded. But a country like Vietnam, I haven't been to China yet. They're even worse. And India is even worse than China. But Vietnam is close to it. Yeah. And I'll tell you, in the cities, it's so bad that when I drive when I go on these buses up a hill, I can look down and see the smoke surrounding the city. The city. Does that make sense? When I go on these buses that go up a mountain away, you could see the smoke covering the city. I mean, it's obvious to me that the CO2 emissions are doing something, at least within that area. Oh, now on a great scale.
I think I got to stop you for a second, because this is all right. Patrick Moore on the show that we did said two or three things that kind of blew my mind. Now, he's a scientist. He's an expert at this. He said and that is one of the biggest misconceptions about this whole thing, is that CO2 levels cause higher temperatures. But he said that cause and effect is actually completely reversed. He said what really is, higher temperatures cause more CO2. That's what he said. Now, the world's been warming up for the last 300 years, and it's very important to note that there was the first half of that, there was no industrialization on the planet at all. It just warmed up anyway, and it still is. So I mean, the thing is, like I said, there's a kernel of truth to this that can't be ignored, and that is pollution is just plain fucking bad. It is. There's no, I mean, I can't disagree with you about that at all, but whether it's actually causing global warming, I don't know. It's like I have to tell you what I understand is it isn't, but anyway.
Okay, how about this? Okay, but before I use my analogy and my scenario, I sincerely hope I am correct here and that you are wrong, okay? And there's a reason for this. If I am correct, that means that we could solve the issue. There's a fix to it. But if you are correct, and this is a natural event, then we're going to have to deal with this global warming, and there will be no fix for it.
Does that
make sense?
That's right.
We have it. That's right, and that's what I fear. That's my fear.
Yeah.
But now for the pollution part, do you believe that each species on this planet is valuable for an eco cycle? Do you believe we live in an eco cycle? Right. If we're missing like a species, Do you think that it will destroy the eco cycle? Does that make sense?
Well,
like, let's say all the bees
die. Yes, it does, but that's a very, very complex – the answer to that question is very complex, because, you know, there's – species are dying on the planet every single day, and it seems like that's inevitable. So in a certain extent. Now, do humans kill too many animals? Yeah, we do. And we do it inadvertently, you know. I mean, my big thing is, I feel really strongly about this. These windmills, that's complete bullshit. You want to generate electricity? Put up a solar panel. That's great. That's fantastic. These windmills, they kill millions of birds every year. It's a very, very inefficient way to make electricity. But I'm using that as one example. You're right. We do. So the thing is, I mean, are we killing the ecosystem? Yeah, but then again, would some of it die anyway? For sure, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't know what to think about it. I don't. But I do have to mention, though, you're absolutely right about our disagreement about the fact. Under my scenario, there's no solution for this. There isn't. We just have to deal with it. And you're absolutely correct about that.
Yeah. And that's a dangerous thing, I would think. I mean, I'm not saying that you're wrong or that I'm right. I just rather it be that I'm right, because if my scenario is correct, we can change it. There's a way for us to work together and change it. But if your scenario is correct, it's something that we have to deal with on a global scale. Like we're talking about from the Ice Age to, I don't know, back to the, I guess, Stone Age time period. You know, yeah. We're going to have to go into Graham Hancock type ancient apocalypse type stuff. That, do you know what I'm talking about when I say that?
Yeah, yeah. Ancient apocalypse. However, it's worth noting that the last ice age was only 10,000 years ago. I mean, the Egyptians only started their civilization a few years after that. So it was pretty, in terms of the age of the earth, it was really, really recent. So.
Yeah, in terms of civilization, it was very recent. You mean the Earth has been like 6.5
in terms of the age of the Earth? Yeah, I mean there were humans easily on the planet 10,000 years ago. I mean, it really was about 7,000 years ago when people started to actually congregate into cities and stuff, where we actually had some sort of like civilized society. But you know, so it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. So I think scientists believe that the first civilization was the Sumerian culture, which was 6,000 years BC, which is about 8,000 years ago, right? Scientists still go off the Bible. The Bible says that the Earth was created 6,000 years ago, but scientists says that the Earth was actually created 6.5 billion years ago. That's a long time frame.
Right.
Yeah, and recently there was a finding of this place called Göbekli Tepe, and there the carbon dating on there. Carbon dating is just it's only off the material that they can find on the structure. So it could be older.
Yeah, I'm familiar with this place. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and that was carbon dated to be 10,000 years. So it proved scientists wrong. Scientists said it's 6,000 years, but this is 10,000 years. Now, according to Graham Hancock, he believes that there was human civilizations here 50,000 years ago, but they were wiped off by some apocalyptic event. And it kind of makes sense, because we don't understand how these people created these pyramids that are throughout the whole planet. It's not just in Egypt. It's throughout the whole planet, these structures, these pyramids. There's pyramids here in America. There's pyramids in China. There's pyramids in the South America. It's everywhere. Yeah. And so why are the structures, all similar throughout the whole planet? So what he's saying, that there was a civilization a long time ago of human beings, probably 50,000 years ago during the Ice Age, because during the Ice Age, the whole planet was not ice. The oceans were ice, but it receded the water, which revealed a lot of land, and these people kind of walked around and did things. They were travelers like that. So that would... I don't know where I'm going with this, but basically some apocalyptic event wiped off this group of people. And from the scenarios that you're talking about in terms of our debate right now, is basically what might happen to us if you are correct. We will be wiped off by this, and all our technology will be gone. And the next human civilization that comes off are going to be like wondering, how the hell did these people create Wi-Fi, and what does the cell phone do? That type of stuff. They're not going to understand it. Basically, there's no solution, is what you're saying. And from our argument, and I hope you are wrong.
I hope I'm wrong too. I do.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for letting me come on and have a little talk with you, okay?
I really appreciate it. Matter of fact, that was very illuminating. You've been talking about stuff I've been talking about for a long time. So, I mean, unfortunately, we hardly disagree on anything, but maybe the one thing is kind of important. So, thank you for calling. Please call again, okay? that was Think from upstate New York. Now you can call in too. I got a big number. See that right on the phone right here on the screen. Now I didn't ask him if he was on listening on Blog Talk Radio or the one thing about Blog Talk Radio is they have a directory of everything that's live at any one particular moment, which is so it's easy for people to stumble into the show even though it's audio only. And that's kind of true on Rumble too. YouTube, it's hard. I gotta admit, I think the YouTube interface sucks. I think they've done a terrible job at it. Oh, excuse me. So, okay, it was really great talking to him. He made a lot of really good points. And the thing is, it's like we're pretty much going out after the same thing from two different points of view. And he's right. If I'm right, there's basically no solution to this. I mean, we could deal. And so, I mean, how long would it take for the whole thing, you know, for the world to burn up? I don't know, 50,000 years. I mean, it's not going to happen, you know, next Monday or anything like that. But and the other thing is, and I forgot, I should have asked him this, if he had any ideas of how, for example, if we can solve the problem of global warming, how would we do it? You know, there's, pardon me. There's this big thing that we seed the clouds all over the earth, you know, to keep the sun out. Well, have you ever seen or you heard about the show Snowpiercer? What is it on? Is it on Max, I think, or something like that? So in that show, what happens is that they do that, and the whole thing goes totally wrong, and they basically plow the whole world into an ice age. So, and, yeah, you know, like we know enough about to do this. Now, this has just made the news this last weekend about the fact that now there's other scientists who are saying that all the figures about global warming or no, let me say again, climate change, like I said, global warming is very real, and that's exactly what Think was talking about. But about the figures about climate change are all wrong, and this is what Patrick Moody or Moore and other people have told me, and that is that the samples weren't big enough to actually draw any really good conclusions in terms of sample size, in terms of analyzing data. Man, it's like, I mean, who knows? Like, holy shit. All right, I'm going to go on to what I, you know, now I'm thinking, you know, I'm actually thinking I should just dump what I was going to talk about tonight. Although, basically, I think this is, I was going to talk about the fact that the Supreme Court ruled for Trump 9-0 today, and the left-wing media just had a meltdown over it. I mean, just hilarious, the things these people were saying. And the thing is, it's a unanimous ruling. That's the amazing thing. And Amy Coney Barrett actually put in her opinion, she said, you know, basically to the effect that, please note that we are all agreed on this. It didn't matter. All those liberals on the court, no, there's a whole bunch of people saying it was actually 5-4, but somehow they got their arms put. Oh, yeah, right. It's like, holy shit. Okay. But I'm going to go on to the UFO stuff, because I think also talked about that too. So Sean Kirkpatrick, the guy who just stepped down as director of the Anomalous Arrow Task Force, whatever it's called. Hold on, I think I actually have the title of it here, but it doesn't. You know what I'm talking about. You know, he said basically as soon as he left the office, which was a few weeks ago, he's now telling the press that his higher-ups at the Pentagon wouldn't let him talk about what he wanted to talk about. He says there's way more to the subject that the public doesn't know about, and we can't talk about it. So, and he felt his hands were tied, and I'm sure he still does, because he's still under a lifetime security oath, is my guess. So he still can't talk about it, but at least he can say that. He can say the fact that I can't talk about what I wanted to talk about, you know? So, I mean, this is all like, the politics involved the UFO thing is just freaking remarkable. I mean, it's basically, and it mirrors, the reason why I'm so fascinated with it, it mirrors the politics of our everyday government. It does. So you have a faction of the Pentagon. So, I mean, this is what I've gathered after studying this for 30 years. The Pentagon knows the UFOs are real and that they're from extraterrestrial civilizations. They know that. Now, whether they're in touch with any of them, God, I don't know. A guy named Charles Hall wrote a bunch of books years ago. He said for 2 years, between 1963 and 1965, he came back from Vietnam, and he was assigned to a weather station on the Nellis Air Force Range, which is, you have to understand, Area 51 is part of the Nellis Air Force Range. It's huge. Not Area 51 is huge, but the Nellis Air Force Range takes up like a quarter of the state of Nevada. It's enormous. And anyway, he was one of the people in charge of the weather forecast for the range, and he said that he ended up inadvertently discovering the fact that the U.S. government was hosting, they had built a spaceport for these aliens to land and repair their spacecraft. He called them the Tall Whites. He said he never actually did find out where they were actually from. He said that. But also, his description of those aliens matches the descriptions of a lot of, they weren't the quote-unquote classic grays, they weren't, but they match the description a lot of other people have given who said they've interacted with extraterrestrials. So, and he said, I mean, it's really amazing. So he went on to become a nuclear physicist, and he spent his entire career, he said that he figured out that the alien spacecraft ran off basically what were electric generators, except they were pumping something other than electrons through the generator. It was another subatomic particle, and that's how they achieved anti-gravity. And he's spent his entire, the guy's in his 80s now. He's not doing, his health is not good. I'd love to have him on the show. Maybe I can get him on the phone. I don't know. I mean, it's fascinating because the thing about this is that he wrote 6 books about this. He's either the greatest novelist to ever lived, or this is true. I mean, that's the thing about this. It's very stark. Either he's making all of it up or it all happened, one or the other. It's like there's no way to get around it. But he said he spent his entire career as a physicist trying to figure out what that other goddamn particle they were sending through those electric motors, and he couldn't figure it out. He said they were designed exactly like standard electromotors that we use, except instead of using copper coil, they used fiber optics, which was brand new in 1963. And he said they were ordering a shitload of it. And he said other than the fiber optics, everything they were using in these spacecraft were basically off-the-shelf 1960s parts. That's what he said. He didn't get a chance to go in one. He said it basically looked like an RV. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. The whole thing's just really amazing. So I bring that up because there are people like him. There's quite a few people who said that the military has made contact with extraterrestrials. That might also all be complete bullshit. We don't know. But one thing I'm virtually certain of is that the military has figured out the government. I can't say the government. I have to say the military, because the thing is, it's obvious. People in Congress don't know anything about this, and this is such a black project thing, I think most of the people in the military don't even know about it. But it's obvious there's a portion of the military, a black project portion, that knows that these crashed spacecraft we have are from other planets. And it's like Christopher Mellon, a former director, he's a deputy secretary of defense, he was, if I'm right. Oh, God, these damn... titles get so damn confused. But at any rate, you know, he wrote an article about a year and a half ago, and I think it was in the Debrief, I'm not sure. He wrote and said, you know, no one in Washington wants to say the A word, and the A word is aliens. Because, okay, the government has acknowledged that these UFOs are real, UAP, whatever you want to call them. They're real flying machines. They've acknowledged that now. No doubt. That's definitive. Okay, so who's putting them up? So there's either 2 possibilities, or 3 actually. We're doing it ourselves, and we're not telling the other parts of the military. I'll get to that in a second. Our adversaries are doing it. China or Russia are the obvious ones, or they're from outside of outside of Earth. They're being put up by other civilizations. Those are the 3 choices. Now, are Russia and China doing it? No, they don't. They're not. They can't. First of all, China gets all its technology about stealing ours, which is really, really terrible. And I'll tell you how fucked up our government is. These hypersonic missiles that China's building, there are plans, and they stole them and just got around to building them first. I mean, that's how fucked up this all is. They stole our plans to do this, and then they beat us to building them. What the fuck? You know, it's like, that's nuts. So, yeah, they've been stealing our intellectual property for like 40 years. The Russians simply can't get their shit together enough to do it. There's no doubt about that. Other countries, India, no. We are the technological leaders on the planet. We're not. Now, are they ours? Now, this gets complicated. This is like when talking to Think here. The thing is, these are not easy issues. You know, there's a lot of subtlety in this. I got to hand it to him. He got it. And I'm hoping you, who get, you know, even though we might disagree on what on the core cause and all that sort of thing, he still understands the fact that it's a very complex issue. So are you asking me, if you're asking me, are those things that the people on the USS Nimitz and USS Roosevelt said that they saw flying around and that we chased with our F-17 fighters, 16, whatever it is, are you saying those are American? Yeah. I think some of them are. Matter of fact, I actually think most of them are. But we got the technology by reverse engineering crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft. In other words, we have them. They're ours, and we built them, but we have them because of extraterrestrials. Not that they gave them to us and we figured it out. But I have to tell you, there's two big schools of thoughts on this, too. Jazz Shaw, the Salem Media guy, a UFO guy for Salem Media, we got to have him back on. We have him on about every 6 weeks. We got to talk about this because he knows what I'm talking about. The last time he was on the show, we talked about this. There's two schools of thought in the military at the Pentagon right now of what's going on. One is that we have the crashed spacecraft. Well, actually, both of them revolve around this. We have the crashed spacecraft. Scenario A, we've figured out, we've reverse engineered how to run them. We built them, some of them ourselves. And then we're testing them. And people say, well, you wouldn't test them against the military. Yeah, you would. That's exactly what you do. Because they're the last people would suspect they were ours. That's the reason. Then the other school of thought is that we've had them for 40, 50, 60 years, haven't been able to figure them out at all. We're completely stumped. And the people in the Pentagon don't want to admit that either. They don't want to admit that we've had these things and can't figure out how they work. And so both those things are diametrically opposed to each other. But it's worth noting that in both those scenarios, we have the crashed extraterrestrial spacecraft. That's my point. We do have them. There's pretty much no debate about this anymore. I mean, you will find people who want to debate with you, but no. The only real question is, have we figured this out? That's the question. And are we in contact with the ETs? There's that too. Like I said, there's two vastly different schools of thought on that too. I mean, there's the thought that we have been not only in contact with them, we've been dealing with them for 40 or 50 years. And then there's the thing is that not only are we not in contact with anybody, we don't even know where these spacecraft come from. They crash on Earth and we don't even know where they're from. There's that too. So the politics of this whole situation is really, really, really freaking weird. It just is, you know? So I don't know. So where are we going from that? I will tell you know, this is the I skipped right to the C block here, which is where we deal with non-political stuff, and we'll talk about the political stuff tomorrow. I like to keep this show loose, folks. I really do. I don't want to, you know. And I'll be honest, you know, I got friends who watch a lot of my friends. Even I'm in Minneapolis. I'm literally sitting in one of the most liberal congressional districts in America, probably top three. Right? Almost all my friends are liberal, almost all of them. And they will watch the show and they will bite their tongue and hold their nose, but they'll watch it. And a lot of them have told me, you know, they say, you know,